You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, episode number 862. You try to do it, and you do it honestly. You can't control people's responses, really. Edgar Wright.
Broadcasting from the back alley in Hollywood, it's the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, where we show you how to survive and thrive as an indie filmmaker in the jungles of the film biz. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Indie Film Hustle Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success. The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com. Enjoy today's episode with guest host Dave Bullis.
With me today is Mark Phillips. Mark Phillips is the star and director of the Walking Fool documentary, where he attempts to actually walk from New York all the way across the country to California. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing, Dave?
Pretty good, thanks. Pretty good. So, you know, Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm from the New York City area all my life. And I was one of those people that was sort of, you know, always interested in acting, never really pursued it actively. So I did what most people did. I just got a job working in the office in front of a computer, where I could just sort of think about dreaming of being a performer on stage. And I did that for about 10 years. And finally, it sort of kind of snapped, and I thought about doing something different. And that's sort of how we evolved into what I'm, you know, doing now in the documentary, is walking across the country.
Yeah. So Mark, how long have you been a filmmaker for?
Well, that goes back to high school. I was sort of, I remember getting a video camera, one of those big VHS things, you know, top loading VHS things. It was probably about 20 pounds for Christmas, and just started making little, you know, short films. And back in the 90s, that evolved before YouTube, that evolved into what was known as a public access show, which is, you know, all the cable networks. For those who might not know, the cable networks had to have these public access stations where people were allowed to put their own local content on there. So that kind of evolved it gave me an outlet also for that actor in me to sort of perform and be silly.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I don't think there's any more public access shows around.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm in New York, and I don't have cable anymore. So, but I'm assuming they still exist, because it was actually written in as a law, I believe, when cable stations started developing. People were, you know, saying, well, we don't want to have you guys digging holes and putting all this power lines in and all that. So they made a compromise, saying, well, we'll allow you to put up your little, you know, your little shows and your little public community shows in exchange for that. So they may still be built into it, but no one probably really watches them.
Yeah, that could be the case. Because I do work for a local township, and Verizon and Comcast actually help foot the bill for like upgrades and stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So that way we can like build new stuff. But so Mark, when you started making this documentary, Walking Fool, you know, what job were you working at when you decided to make this, to make Walking Fool?
Yeah, I was sort of working in graphic design. So I was originally working at Macy's, and then I started working then for one of the VPs at Macy's left and started her own design firm. So I just basically worked with her. And that's in sort of Westchester County, which is just north of New York City. So I was kind of doing the reverse commute. I was sort of going up into sort of the suburbs to work in the day. And it was actually when I was working there that I came up with the idea of walking across the country, because one of the bosses who was a notorious alcoholic was late to work one morning. So I was locked out of the building and I had no way of getting in. So when I called him, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Of course, he lived on Long Island, which is about an hour and a half away. So I knew he wasn't going to be there too quickly. So instead of like sort of it was like October, so it was getting kind of cold, and I was like, well, I don't want to just sort of sit on the sidewalk. I'll just go for a little walk. And on that little walk around the town, I sort of discovered things that I never really had the chance to look at. It was like this house that was on the main thoroughfare that I've driven by many times, but never, you know, looked at too closely. When I got close to it, I noticed that it was actually the home of Madam C.J. Walker, who was the first African-American woman millionaire. And that was her first mansion. So it was basically the first Black woman's mansion in America. And I've been driving by it, and if I didn't walk by it, I never would have noticed that plaque and figured out what it was. And just sort of, it sort of sparked that excitement of like, oh, you know, when you're really walking, it's the macrocosm becomes a microcosm. You really get to find the details. And it sort of inspired me to say, well, you know what, I just keep on doing this and just go from one town to the other and then one state to the other and ad infinitum.
So when you did decide to do this, Mark, did you tell anybody about it?
Yeah, well, the story is that I actually, this was going back to the year 2000, and I told lots of people about it. I was so excited, but I was also wary that people were going to, in particular my mom, I thought my mom for sure was going to say, Mark, now this is just not very reasonable. I think she's going to offer something a little bit more reasonable, like, why don't you just go for a walk, you know, to Long Island? How about that? But she was actually very enthusiastic, and she embraced it pretty wholeheartedly. So, and pretty much I was kind of surprised because almost everyone was enthusiastic. I think there was a few people that were a little, you know, suspicious I was going to make it. And, but almost everyone said, go ahead and do it, which is actually a little disturbing because I was hoping for a few like naysayers, because I think it motivates you to sort of like prove people wrong, kind of.
Mm-hmm. So did you have a lot of naysayers at all, or was there just mainly everyone was very supportive?
I think almost everyone was supportive. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I had one friend who, you know, I remember we were sort of working on the route I was going to take. And when I said, okay, you know, I think this is the route I should take after I go to Chicago. And as soon as I said Chicago, he gave me a look like, oh, come on. You're not going to make it to Chicago. It wasn't really him being a naysayer. It was just him saying, being a realist, saying, you're not going to. And then he actually said, I'll give you $500 if you make it to Chicago. So that was probably the most sort of kind of like challenge that I got. But I remember my dad actually said he was like actually jealous. He's like, I wish I could do that too. Like, oh, dad, sure.
Did you ever tell that alcoholic